The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should consider obtaining independent advice before making any financial decisions.
G'day, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we're catching up with John Braham of Equus Mining, which trades under the code EQE, or Echo Quebec Echo. It last traded at 1.7 cents for a market cap of about 30 million and has about 4 million in the bank with which to pursue its Cerro Bayo project in Chile. It's in a premier epithermal gold and silver province that straddles Chile and Argentina. And when I say premier, I mean premier because I think it's got a production history in that region of, you know, upwards of 30 million ounces gold equivalent. Now, Equus is different to the usual explorer type we catch up with because Cerro Bayo has a long production history and comes with a fully permitted treatment plant that has produced high-grade gold and silver concentrates for a number of previous owners. Equus is working on a restart plan at covering the Taytal deposit, but the story is bigger than that because there is both brownfield and greenfield exploration upside that will add to the story both before and after production resumes. This one is a bit of a sleeper in a market sense, but what should be particularly strong news flow in coming months should alert the market to the upside from what is a relatively modest market cap. With that, I'll say g'day to John and welcome him to the podcast. Hi, John, and thanks for your time today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Okay, John, good idea, I think, to start out if we can just get a bit of a feel from where you hail from, your professional background to date.
Sure. Well, I was an investment banker for 25 years with Macquarie Bank. So that was really my career. I worked exclusively really in the metals and mining area and specifically financing junior gold and silver and base metal producers. So the assets we chased included small exploration companies in South America, and hence my interest in the upside of these things.
Okay. Now Macquarie, the background there, I guess the world is your oyster. Why have you settled on this deal, and why Chile?
Well, I've always liked Chile as a mining jurisdiction, as an exploration jurisdiction, and have done business here in the past, and know that whilst bureaucratic, you can get deals done and mines built and operations happening in Chile. Specifically with this asset, I had been following Equus with its exploration asset, Los Domos, for a few years, and could always see the synergy between that and the Cerro Bayo operation, which was literally only a stone's throw away, and yet had been closed due to an accident several years before. So for me, the opportunity was really to realize that synergy, and that's what brought me to Equus in the first place.
Right. And I'm sure you're aware that there's been a few AX juniors over the years had a crack at trying to find a big porphyry in Chile, big copper porphyry, but this one, epithermal, high grade, that was of particular interest to you?
That was deliberate, yeah. I mean, my view, and I think our board's view and the approach we're taking is that we would prefer to be in, as a small company, in a prolific epithermal district where the opportunity exists to develop high-grade resources which don't require enormous amounts of infrastructure to develop. We have experts on our team in epithermal geology, and the area we're in had long been identified as a really premier epithermal gold-silver district. And so I suppose it was really only natural for Equus to be looking in this direction, and I think for a junior company, high-grade gold-silver is the place that we should be.
Now, the entry into the project was a bit different. You haven't bet the farm initially. Explain the option deal with Mandalay Resources.
Well, we didn't bet the farm, so to speak, but there wasn't much of a farm. So I guess respectfully, the deal we cut with Mandalay really gave us an opportunity to explore on the Sarabaya property, which we'd always identified as being extremely highly prospective for further epithermal discoveries, and not lose the value of that exploration should we succeed via an option to acquire the entire property. And it really was, I think you'd say, it's a benefit for both Equus and Mandalay, and that they get the benefit should we not proceed with all the work we've done. And should we proceed, it was a clean exit from an asset that they'd long ago identified as not being core to their future operations. So I guess the deal we structured where there was no cash, however, Mandalay maintain a 20% interest in Equus should we exercise our option, and they do get an NSR. So they will still receive a lot more benefits from the Sarabaya project than they would have should they have had to put it on care and maintenance and eventually close it down.
Mm. Yeah, interesting one. To the point, I understand that Mandalay will actually be reprocessing some low-grade stockpiles in the interim.
So Mandalay's plans, as we understand them, are to trial process a large inventory of low-grade stockpiles or mineralized waste, as it was back when it was mined, to really test the economics of that process and to get the mill back up operating at full capacity. And realistically, at these metal prices, to cover some of the care and maintenance costs that they're up for. So whilst we're not part of that process, it's a really interesting opportunity for Equus to really get a look at the operation of that plant, plus to see what economics a low-grade waste does throw out. Should it be useful as a blend product in the future? But primarily, really, to see the mill running at capacity would have been an enormous benefit for us.
Mm. Good to keep things turning up.
Will be an enormous benefit for us, should I say.
And just to round off that discussion point there, the option is exercisable when?
At any time up until January 22. At that point, both parties have an opportunity to walk away should they want, but the agreement allows for a continuation for another 18 months after that if neither party wants to walk away. The board of Equus has always been of a mind to be in a position to exercise our option and take control before January 22.
Right, okay. Now, interesting project with gold at the elevated prices, but we've had silver come up from the rear. You'd be pretty pleased with the silver price performance recently.
Well, historically, Sarabaya has produced fairly evenly on a value basis, gold and silver. I mean, Coeur d'Alene mined it at an average grade of 4.2 gold and 3.45 silver. Mandalay mined it at an average grade of about 2 grams gold and 240 silver. Right. So there's always been significant silver in the concentrate. And whilst our first exploration success is primarily gold, we expect that over time the system to produce significantly high silver as it has historically.
Mm. And do you think silver's moved from, sat there for a few years around $14, $15 an ounce up to $28 recently? Do you think it's here to stay?
Well, gosh, you know, since I've been watching silver, it's traded down as low as $3 or $4 an ounce and as high as $35 or $40 an ounce. So, you know, I'd say that it's certainly got upside in it. I don't pretend to be a very good forecaster of where metal prices are going, but certainly the strength in gold and silver is not only bringing some interest into our story corporately, but it also significantly improves the economics of any lower grade restart that we may initiate using the resources in the Tai Tau open pit. Mm. So it's very significant for us.
Okay. Now, the Tai Tau open pit resource, that's due later this year?
Yeah, we've got Cube Consulting in Perth working on that at the moment. We expect to have preliminary numbers out of them by the end of October. And keeping in mind, this is all within a kilometre of the plant, It's historic production from the Taitau open pit was really only utilizing the high grade parts of the deposit. Gold was very low at the time. Silver was very low at the time, historically low. And so they really only mined down to shallow depths in a series of small open pits. So there is real potential for a restart resource based on expansion of those very small and open pits today.
Right. And so that then gets fed into the restart study, which is...
That's correct, yeah. So the restart study, we've engaged an engineer out of San Diego who's very experienced in building assets in the region, in the Deseado Massif. That process will build from and build on the resource when it comes out, but obviously we'll also incorporate the metallurgy and the permitting and the capital required to bring Taitau into production.
Right. And that restart study, possibly, what, late this year, early next year?
Well, we're saying by Q1 21, so we would say early next year.
Mm-hmm. Have you been able to put any scoping type figures around it?
Not at this time, Barry. Nothing that would be meaningful. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, everyone can refer to the previous production out of Coeur d'Alene and Mandalay. Mm-hmm. And the grades that they were mining, obviously from lower grades from Taitau, the production would necessarily be lower. But really, we haven't come to a point where we've wrapped numbers around it.
Mm. I've seen the company refer to this dual strategy, brownfields, greenfields. So I guess we've pretty much talked about the brownfield track there. What about the greenfield track?
Well, I would include in the brownfield before we move on from the brownfields is that not only are we pulling resources in from Taitau, but we're also looking at the extensions along strike from existing mining operations, from the veins that were being mined under the Laguna Verde Lake, which is on the property where, in fact, the accident occurred. But further northwest to the lake, these mines we have interpreted to these veins we've interpreted to continue on, albeit faulted along strike to the northwest. And we have got some really impressive rock chip samples from surface, which we're following up with some drilling this season. And so our brownfields is both the existing Taitau resource and potentially extensions to that, plus what we call our Pegaso prospect to the northwest of the lake, along strike from where Mandalay was mining reasonably high-grade veins. So that's what we include in our brownfields. Our greenfields prospects come from the remodeling of the system by our geologists, Damien Kerber and Guillermo Chacon. And from that, really built from a base new view on the exploration potential of the property, they've come up with a number of new prospects. And I suppose our Droughtmaster prospect stands out, where we hit 3.8 metres at 20.5 gold and 55 silver from 109 metres. Now, we are currently drilling about 40 metres below that to hit it at around 140 or 150 metres. We've started that hole, and that hole is probably a third of the way through. Results from that will come in September, and we're really excited about that.
Right. I think, is that the one where Damien thinks the system's better developed at greater depth?
That's right. That's right. So, the inverted horse's tail. The thinner strands up the top, and he's hoping to get down towards the trunk of the tail, so to speak.
Now, tell us a bit about Damien. A good man to have on board with his history in that part of the world.
Damien has really been the driver of the Chilean operations of Equus, certainly since I joined, but also prior to. It was Damien who pegged the Los Domos project, brought that into Equus, pulled some other projects in the region, and really provides the Chilean expertise and experience that a small company like us needs. He's lived in Chile for 25 years, obviously. Very happily bilingual, and also really understands the rocks in our region, And we're also lucky to have Guillermo Chacon working for us at site, a very experienced geologist, also experienced in the Desierto Massif at Cerro Moro. And we consider that we have a very high caliber exploration team for our district.
Mm. Yeah, certainly a quality as good as it gets for a company with, $30 million market cap, that's for sure.
Well, look, that's right. But obviously the aim of the management team and the board in Equus was never to stay as a $30 million company. And I guess, you know, we have, we've done our time. We've pulled this deal together. We have very efficiently developed some really promising greenfields prospects. And we have developed, we have come a long way in developing a restart plan in order for us to exercise our option in 2021.
Mm, okay. Now, I'm talking to you from Melbourne, so you can understand why I ask questions about COVID. On the ground up there, any delays being caused by COVID in Chile?
Well, certainly on the ground, no. We have a locally based exploration team. So exploration, and that includes our contract driller, who's also from the ASEAN region, right. We're from our home region. So the exploration effort has been largely uninterrupted by COVID, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Our people are all able to operate freely. The delays we've had have been firstly in lab assays. Mm-hmm. The Santiago lab was shut because of COVID, and samples have to be sent to Vancouver or Lima. So there's been an additional time involved in that. And also getting people from Santiago, you know, consultants, QPs, people down to site is not simple. It's certainly possible. It just takes time with quarantining as it does in a lot of parts of the world. So it really is delay rather than stops anything we're planning or have in process.
Okay. Well, if I can get you to pull it all together in for investors in terms of news flow they should be looking out for the next 6 months or so.
Well, yeah, for certain. I mean, we have just started our latest drill campaign, so the obvious answer is that we'll be releasing drill results from starting from that Droughtmaster prospect for the next number of months. We are also at all times mapping, sampling, and our targets, and we'll release results as we get in rock chip samples and the like. And as we discussed earlier, we expect both a initial resource and to come out in the next couple of months, which will be really the basis from which we can start planning our restart study, or we can develop our restart study and our plans to restart, keeping in mind this whole thing is predicated around Equus exercising their option to take control of the entire Cerro Bayo subsidiary before the end of 2021.
Right. It's a quality story. I was just wondering what the share register looks like. You got any institutions on board yet?
Well, we do. We have in our last raising, we were very pleased that we that both Tribeca Investment Partners and Veritas Palisades Gold Corp both invested $1 million in our last raising. They're both now on our top five shareholders. Palisades out of Canada and Tribeca out of Australia. So our top, top shareholder continues to be Jared Toscan through his various entities. Who was a very large shareholder in Equus prior to my involvement, continues to be a very good supporter. As I mentioned, Tribeca and Veritas Palisades Gold Corp. And Norm Seckholt, a well-known Sydney mining entrepreneur with whom we share an office, has historically been a large shareholder of Equus and founding director of Equus.
Well, loves his Latin American silver, that's for sure. It's been very good to him over the years.
Absolutely. Very good, very much so, yeah. Right.
Okay, well, thanks for that, John. Very interesting story with the mix of development studies underway, plus both brownfields and greenfields exploration for what everyone wants at the moment, high-grade gold, high-grade silver. So all the best with it, and thanks again for your time today.
Thank you very much, Barry. Appreciate the time.